I'm Tim Tevenin. Welcome to the Piano Bench. We have a special event today. It is live from our performance studio. Pianist by the name of Matt Goodrich is with us today. We'll find out about him, but just a couple of basic things before we get going. Matt is the program director, the music program director at the Conservatory of Music in Sandpoint and the head of piano at the Conservatory in Coeur d'Alene. He is going to be playing at the Coeur d'Alene Conservatory's new home, Hamilton House, this coming Friday evening. We'll be talking with him. Well, first of all, we're going to meet him, musically speaking, then learn a little bit about him, and then go from there into this program that he's going to be playing this weekend. Let's start with some music, though. We're going to go to our studio and Matt Goodrich. This is music from his Friday program by Emmanuel Chabrier, his idol. This is Matt Goodrich. From our performance studio, that was Matt Goodrich playing the music of Emmanuel Chabrier. Matt, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Let's learn a little bit about you and your background in the piano. You've been playing since you were knee-high to a grasshopper?
Something like that, yeah. My sister was actually my first teacher.
Oh, very good.
And I had a wonderful teacher in a wonderful music community growing up in Syracuse, New York. Then went to Oberlin College Conservatory and studied with the amazing Julian Martin, and then went to Seattle right after that and eventually got my doctorate with Robin McCabe at University of Washington.
All right, very good. And the music that you played, that wonderfully sparkling and ingratiating music by Emmanuel Chabrier. It's kind of the essence of French music, isn't it?
That's perfect words for it. And it was the wonderful moment in French music where they were needing a little bit of je ne sais quoi to come on the scene. And those wonderful pieces that Chabrier wrote in the late 1800s were very much noticed by composers like Ravel, Debussy, and Poulenc, as I think now he's considered pretty much the father of modern French music.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are playing a program. We'll get to the what's on the program in a while, but you are playing a program that is entirely French music. And at what point did you, quote unquote, discover the piano music of France?
My high school piano teacher had me play Debussy quite a bit. And my in college, we had a lot of people bringing French master classes, and there was even a whole French music festival. And the music was always very fascinating and exquisite to me. But really, after I did my doctoral dissertation on the incredible pianist Ricardo Vignes, who figured so hugely in the premieres of Debussy and Ravel, among many others, pieces, then I decided, I want to start playing some of this music myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, excellent.
The time is very intoxicating, and it's easy to get very obsessed with that era.
That's a good word for it, intoxicating. It's in many of its aspects, it's kind of like going into this totally fragrant garden that kind of overwhelms you with these various perfumes that are coming at you.
And the exquisite pleasures that all of the French arts seem to cultivate at the time, mm-hmm. as a way to, elevate the, create some frisson within the human spirit, and it sure does that.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you give us another example of that? I think next on your program for us is a bit more of music of Emmanuel Chabrier, the Bourré Fantasque.
This is an amazing piece, and when you consider it was written in 1891 and was so far ahead of the kind of writing that you hear in the beginning of the 20th century from the new kind of piano textures of Debussy and Ravel, this piece looks all the more remarkable. And Chabrier is having quite a resurgence with some of the scholarship from people like Roy Howitt and the wonderful CD from Angela Hewitt is really starting to champion him, and it's starting to get recognized how innovative he was, and you'll hear this in this piece.
All right, because he's not a composer who we automatically think of the piano in terms of.
That's right, and yet his 10 picturesque pieces, Cortot thought, were just as equal to the set of Debussy preludes in their importance to French piano music.
All right. Well, we'll send you back to the studio at this point, and we will again enjoy music of Emmanuel Chabrier. This and other pieces that you'll hear on the piano bench today with our guest, Matt Goodrich, will be part of his recital coming up Friday evening in Coeur d'Alene, presented by the Music Conservatory of Coeur d'Alene at their home in the Hamilton House. And now, back to our studio. This is Matt Goodrich. Thank you. Music of Emmanuel Chabrier, played by our guest in the studio today, Matt Goodrich. And that was a piece with many, many aspects and just a wonderful fun throughout the whole thing.
It's really hard not to get carried away with that piece.
Right. Which can lead you in interesting directions, not all of them good if you allow yourself to get carried away. But quite varied, and it has its elements of mystery. It has its elements of just sheer dancing in the forest fun to it as well.
There was a funny story about Chabrier playing his orchestral piece, España, which is probably the piece that everyone knows by him, in a single piano version at one of the soirees, maybe Princess de Polignac or someone, and basically destroying the entire piano. They said they'd never seen anything like it. And yet he got so many touches from that. When he wrote this piece for Edouard Risler, he said, "I wrote you this funny little piece where every note presents a hazard, and I count at least 113 different touches that you'll need for it."
I'm wondering, have you had much experience or any at all with the French pianos?
Well, as a matter of fact, my dear friend Christine Eggert, who I hope is listening to this and who lives in Denmark, had an Erard.
Mm-hmm.
And what a marvel that was to play. You could hold the damper pedal down forever. And that explained why some of the hugely long pedal marks that never got mushy.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the good fortune when she moved to Denmark of fostering this piano in my living room for several months until I came here.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her it was a magic piano. I learned Jadot on that piano, and it just seemed to just be magic.
Is there a way that you can describe the sound of the piano in terms of how it's different from, say, our Yamaha here in the studio or the Steinway that you'll find on a stage on a concert hall somewhere?
To my recollection, it sounded like lots of wonderful bells. It was not harsh, and you wouldn't want to bang on it. But the way that you could texturize the different layers of all the nuances and the colors and playing using the pedal almost as another instrument with you, was marvelous. And those are the pianos that Ravel and Venus, Ricardo Venus, his champion, were experimenting on, which it's surmised that probably led to the wonderful new textures that you got in piano music in mm-hmm. the 20th century.
This is a parenthesis to this. There has been in the history of French keyboard instruments something that, to my ears at least, is a reflection of the sound of the French language. Certainly that's true in the design of organs back in the classical era, and also in the Baroque, the harpsichords, the French. They have this brighter sound, this almost nasally sound, and I don't know if there's any parallel with the Erard, the French piano, as you described it.
Well, it's interesting because Chabrier is considered a wonderful bridge between the composers Rameau and Couperin, who you mentioned on the clavicens and all that. Sidebar, a shout out to Melody Puller, a great friend of this station, who is going to be doing a lot of Rameau projects coming up. And who introduced us.
Right. She was doing a remote program, but not that long ago, as a matter of fact.
And that's right. And then the French language is so subtle and rarefied. And I was talking with Rob McKay when I was preparing for my defense about what it would be like to be read French poems in the evening in the original language. And we decided it would be quite otherworldly. And maybe that is part of that, the incredible timbre in those Erard pianos and the like.
Let's go to your recital happening this Friday evening at the Hamilton House in Coeur d'Alene. It's a program of almost entirely French music. There is the one interloper of, there may be a couple. Franz Liszt is one of the composers represented, very definitely not French. And Friedrich Chopin, well, okay, we can talk
they
about
claim
that.
Him.
But there's one other composer who will hold as a surprise for a bit. But mainly these are French composers. This is French music. What is your overarching desire to communicate in this recital, besides the wonderful music?
What a great question. I always do try to program programs that will take the audience on a journey, not just in each individual piece being a compelling chapter, but a real arc of inviting transformation and in these days that we're living in, anything that invites them to remember how wonderful their whole existence is and the universe and all that good stuff. This particular recital program is a slight hodgepodge, a slight confluence of about three different projects I have going on. And I'm taking some of this to Corvallis over the weekend, where we're playing in a winery for the second year in a row. And the theme that was given to us this year was revelry. So that decided some of my pieces, a few of which I'm playing today. And I'm also doing a collaboration with a wonderful visual artist, a wonderful painter on the Oregon coast. And we're calling it Waterworks, and it was going to be live art. I have a whole program based on water, which is French, largely French, mm-hmm. While she was going to paint simultaneously. And we had a few bookings for that got canceled because of everything being canceled last year. And so we're getting ready to rev that up at some point. So that repertoire is bringing that back.
Okay.
And then the Venus
mm-hmm.
Aspect.
We should mention here, just for context, that before you moved to the Inland Northwest and took up residence in Sandpoint, you were in Southern Oregon, working in Corvallis and also in Ashland.
Now, I had several happy years in Ashland. I went there right after I finished my dissertation, or around that same time, after 24 years in Seattle and wanting to try something smaller. And had a great association with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, which likely would have continued if we hadn't been shut down. Mm. We were opening a wonderful run of Peter and the Starcatcher with great music for piano and percussion. And the run was from March 1 to November 1. And so we got two shows in before the world stopped.
All right. Well, and Ashland's loss is, of course, the Inland Northwest's gain. Well, let's get back to music here. And you've got a couple of boat songs on the program here. We have a couple of barcaroles. The one that we're going to hear right now is by Gabriel Fauré. Tell us, what kind of a boat are we going to be on for this one?
Oh, Fauré. He wrote quite a few barcaroles, and they're all so exquisite. I heard this one on David Duval's Piano Matters show, and I was like, I must play this. And yet it's a boat that you're sometimes trepidatious to get in because you don't want to spoil the beautiful boat. It's just exquisite, rarefied music. When I was growing up, Fauré, we were just said that no one can play Fauré in concert halls. It was just parlor music. And I don't know if that was because he spent so much time in salons and wrote for them. But I think now that is laid to rest and people are playing Fauré, it's just life-affirming and spiritual. That's right. This kind of boat, I think.
All right, very good. Well, we are ready to board that boat here, courtesy of Matt Goodrich, who is our guest today on the Piano Bench on Spokane Public Radio. The time here in the Inland Northwest is coming up on 11:30. And now to our performance studio and music played by Matt Goodrich. Very different music from the Big Chabrier piece that we heard, music of Gabriel Fauré, one of his barcaroles. Just a delightful boat to be on, and appropriate that two of the pieces on Matt Goodrich's program this Friday evening are concerning water, of course, being a performance given in Coeur d'Alene, right by the lake, very close to the lake, actually, in the Hamilton House, which is the home of the Coeur d'Alene Conservatory. You came to the Inland Northwest to become the music program director of the Sandpoint Conservatory.
Well, I came to the Inland Northwest and through a series of the most unbelievably uncanny, remarkable circumstances, found my way to this, to John Fitzgerald's big shoes of music program director at Sandpoint, and to this new conservatory that just happened to be opening up in Coeur d'Alene. It was the most remarkable gift from the universe. I can't even tell you.
It's a remarkable story. Certainly, we've had the director of the Coeur d'Alene Conservatory, Julian Dance, in here several times. And it started off as a very cloudy sort of dream, this idea of a real center for music in the city of Coeur d'Alene. And one by one, these improbable pieces all began to fall together. And we have the conservatory now, and it's a really beginning to be a going concern. So it's really gratifying that this sort of thing can happen, and it's really great that it's happening in our particular corner of the world.
It's growing steadily, and it's pretty remarkable what Julian was able to do during our lockdown and save a historic house in the process from the wrecking ball. It's really incredible, the connections between both conservatories. They are both in historic buildings. They're both helmed by these forces of nature, women, who have a huge vision of collaborating together and with the other arts organizations to create a culture of culture, to make this whole triangle of Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, Sandpoint into a huge nexus and fountainhead of creativity and musical learning and as a what should be a maybe worldwide center of culture one day.
Well, you know, that was certainly Gunther Schuller's dream back in the day when he came to Sandpoint and established the festival at Sandpoint, which was, in his view, is going to become Tanglewood West. And unfortunately, that never quite happened, but maybe that idea was just kind of held in abeyance until the right forces came together, excuse me, as you described. So we do have now these two musical powerhouses in Sandpoint and in Coeur d'Alene. On your recital, which I should mention, happens at 7 o'clock on Friday night in the Hamilton House. And if you want to find out more about the Coeur d'Alene Conservatory and certainly about Matt's program, you can go to cdaconservatory.org and find out lots of good stuff there. Describe the venue that you'll be performing in, because this is a part of the whole ethos of the conservatory, the scale and scope of it. This is not a huge concert hall at all.
It's a lovely, large living room, historic house, picture a historic house kind of living room with hardwood floors that can probably seat 40 to 50 people if you get enough chairs in there, and happens to have the most wonderful natural acoustics we've been finding through our Friday night concerts, which Jolene created to find a way to connect with the community and start getting it in their minds that, oh, Friday nights we go to the conservatory and we have that kind of awareness. So it's a wonderful space to play, and they recently had the most miraculous donation in a series of continuing miracles of a wonderful Yamaha C7, a perfect performance instrument for that venue.
Great.
So, and also, I'll also point out that in Sandpoint, the fire, we were talking about your amazing fire doors, and the fire doors, the new fire doors have been installed in Sandpoint. And hot weather notwithstanding, we've opened those doors and given some concerts already. And it's pretty amazing to see the possibilities of sharing performances between the two schools. And one day people perform in Sandpoint and the next day in Coeur d'Alene, both in historic houses in different circumstances. and both for very appreciative local residents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, let's get back to music here. And honest, raising my hand here, this is a new one on me, a new composer on me. His name, which is just so resonant, is Riccardo Piccmangiagalli. He was born in 1882 and lived until 1949. Introduce us, please.
Riccardo Piccmangiagalli was affiliated with the Milan Conservatory. If you see a picture of him, extremely dashing figure. And wrote a fair amount of quality piano and chamber music and a lot of film music and ballet. And he has this kind of, as you'll hear, a kind of dramatic, kind of scintillating approach to illustrating the theme. And this particular piece is The Dance of Olaf. You can watch quite a few YouTube performances from old. So this piece was maybe a novelty on the concert circuit from quite good musicians. And then I don't know anyone who's known this since. So it was a piece I dabbled with in college. So when we had this Corvallis theme of revelry, this is the first one that came to mind.
Oh, all
so
right.
This is Olaf, the dance, the king of the elves, dancing underneath the myriad of fireworks. There's a little quote at the beginning of the piece.
That sounds great. Well, we'll send you back to the studio to play this piece for us. We're going to have a bit of a break from what we just heard. The quiet elegance of Gabriel Fauré gives way to dancing and celebration. This courtesy of this composer, who again is a real discovery for me, his name Riccardo Piccmangiagalli. And again, the piece is called The Dance of Olaf. Thank you. Elfin Dancing here, courtesy of composer Riccardo Piccmangiagalli, who was born in 1882. That was Olaf's Dance, and the dancing was indeed intense in that piece, as played by our guest on the piano bench today, Matt Goodrich. Matt, lovely work on that. Such a fun piece.
It's really fun to play, fun to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, the other composers who are represented on the program, there will be music of Chabret. We have heard that. And then also music of Maurice Ravel. Now, I believe that your dissertation was on Ricardo Vignes. Yeah.
Yes, and specifically his relationship with what was called the Apache, the group of friends who gathered together around Debussy's Pelléas et Mélisande and maintained a weekly kind of closed salon for over a decade, where a lot of new works, literary paintings, and music came out of.
It was the avant-garde salon of its day, kind of. Well, he gave the first performances of any number of pieces that have become part of the standard repertory, including the Jadot.
The Jadot, most of Ravel's pieces, all the way to the Sonatine, Miroir, Gaspar, and Debussy, the Pour le Piano, the Image, the Estampe, and 50 other composers or more, Mampu Albanese, who's mm-hmm. on the program also, mm-hmm. and the first person to play pictures at an exhibition in France and just champion the new music of his day.
And also in there is I was noticing that one of the other premieres that he gave of decidedly not French music, of Rimsky's Islame. One of the true knuckle busters mm-hmm. of the repertory.
Yeah, I looked through old concert programs, and I don't think he actually gave the first, but he certainly was the one who championed it in Paris. Mm-hmm. And you can hear, talk about an influential piece, but you could hear that was a direct predecessor to the Bourré Fantasque, the Chabré, the mm-hmm. second Chabré I played. You mm-hmm. could hear that kind of Islamy percussion, repeated notes.
Right, right. There is Debussy. From Image on the program, a couple of pieces on there, the Reflections in the Water and the Joyous Isle as well, which are the Debussy close your program. So it's a wonderful program. And again, it's going to be happening this Friday evening at 7 o'clock at the Hamilton House in the Music Conservatory of Coeur d'Alene. And the whole program is called Idyllic Revelry. We're going to go out, though, with something entirely different, as it turns out. There is a piece by, which is not in your program, which is by the American bad boy composer, George Antheil.
The bad boy who it turned out, had composed quite a little body of decent repertoire before hitting it pretty well in Hollywood as a film composer.
And Antheil, I should say, quite an interesting feature, because he was connected during the Second World War with none other than the actress Hedy Lamarr, and the whole development of radar guidance, and which they never really got credit for.
I mean, how did that happen?
That's an amazing,
that's such an
absolutely
incredible story.
Amazing story.
I want to put my brother on that case. That's the kind of story I think that he would really love.
Right. But we think of Antheil in terms of airplanes and very loud music and sort of literally industrial strength music. But there are many, many sides to him. So introduce us to the piece that you're going to be closing with today.
This is the Toccata from 1948. And again, I'm performing it in Corvallis for the Revelry concert. I heard it on a CD of encores and said, oh, this is compelling. It kind of has little jazzy, almost like Copland-esque jazzy kind of licks. It does definitely has that mechanical toccata, Prokofiev kind of vibe going on. And I hadn't played any music from the mid-20th century in ages, so I decided to pick this one up.
All right, very good. Well, let's give it a listen. Music of George Antheil, his toccata. It'll be played for us from our studio. by Matt Goodrich, our guest today on The Piano Bench. The Piano Bench, a regular Tuesday feature of Spokane Public Radio, and a feature that we just absolutely love all the time, but especially when there is live performance that's connected with it, as there is today. To our performance studio and our guest today, Matt Goodrich. So it ends. Music of George Antile, his Toccata, played for us in our KPBX studio today by Matt Goodrich. This is Matt's first time with us today. And Matt, I want to thank you deeply for being with us today and hope we can do it again sometime soon.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was really exciting. I've never played solo on the radio before.
Well, there you go. You can tick that one off of your list,
right.
And it's good. So again, Matt will be performing Friday night at the Hamilton House in Coeur d'Alene, part of a continuing series of performances throughout the summer on Friday evenings given by members of the Music Conservatory of Coeur d'Alene. Again, wanted to thank very much, Matt, for being with us. And again, we do hope that you'll join us again on one of these days. And that will wrap us up for this part of the Piano Bench here on Spokane Public Radio.